Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday. And there's Penn State basketball tonight. We're not going to carry the game here on WKOK. Penn State taking on VCU at the Jordan Center. We have Talk to Santa coming up this evening. Yes, we're in full swing on this December 2nd. Talk to Santa with the countdown to Christmas. All right, we've got three consecutive weeks of this still to go of Talk to Santa. This half hour, Frank Bodani on Penn State's football win on Saturday as the Nittany Lions beat Michigan. Now they get ready for Rutgers this Saturday, which is set for noon, and we're on beginning at 10:30 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Lincoln, Kia, Hyundai, great new inventory. Maybe you like pre-owned inventory. Maybe your budget really prefers pre-owned inventory. They've got the best selection of pre-owned inventory anywhere. And it comes with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Fabulous sales staff, great deals during this holiday season. Great deals. And not only that, a fabulous service department. Everything from the tough to the routine they can take care of. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Frank Bodani, York Daily Record, in just a few moments. Chuck Greenberg, managing general partner of the State College Spikes and the new MLB Draft League. We'll talk to him in the final half hour about that. But first, our play-by-play call of the day. The Bills on Sunday went to the bag of tricks against the Chargers.
At the Chargers 20. Josh going to throw it behind him. DeBeasy going to throw it again to a man wide open. Gabriel Davis, touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! Cole Beasley to Gabriel Davis. How about that?
Backward pass from Josh.
And they got the job done. And you know, the Bills are 8-3. They're having a great year. They easily lead the AFC East right now. So in the AFC East, they are the standard bearers. Very impressive. And Josh Allen playing better, but that time it was Cole Beasley throwing the touchdown pass. Bag of tricks for the Buffalo Bills. All right, with that, we bring in our good friend from the York Daily Record, Frank Bodani. Frank, as always, an absolute pleasure to have you with us. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon on this beautiful day, Steve. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Good.
Frank, I started out the show by saying, let's talk about what Penn State didn't do Saturday. They didn't turn the ball over. What, in the end, does everything feed off of that?
Oh, I think it definitely does. I mean, look at the Big Ten statistics. Right now, Penn State, I think, is third total offense, fourth in total defense. How does that compute to 1-5? It doesn't, really, except not only the turnovers, but the disastrous turnovers.
Yes.
You take those away, I mean, I'm thinking Penn State has at least three wins right now.
All right, so now let's get to how the game played out. They scored in the opening drive for the second time this season because they scored against Indiana in the opening drive. They played with the lead throughout. The game was tied once, but they played with the lead almost throughout, Frank. What does that mean to the mentality of a team when they're the ones as the lead dog?
Well, I think it allows you to play, maybe feel more comfortable with your strengths. And to me right now, they can run block a little better than they can do some other things. But can you really afford to run block when you're always down by more than a touchdown?
Right.
You know, you can't. But you could see where I think they feel good about that. You must feel positive about the way that the two rookie running backs, especially Lee, kind of handled the situation. I mean, he did not look like a rookie in the way he handled the game as it went on. Some of his patience, you know, waiting, finding, bouncing out to the free space. I mean, but that's because you have the lead and you can do that, right?
Exactly. So, and that makes a big difference.
Yes, absolutely. And I think the defense fed off that a little bit too. I mean, that was their best, at least, performance, I think, from beginning to end, energy-wise, focus-wise. They are who they are. There's still some issues, but they gave it from beginning to end. And even when they had the bad break at the end, you know, the effort was, it did not dip, which is a good sign.
In fact, Sean Clifford, I want to get to him next. What did you think of how he played and how he seemed to play within himself on Saturday?
Well, I was waiting for him to do that in a sense that I kind of, you know, I mean, I was not disagreeing that Will Levis should have had a shot because I think you had to, but giving up on
Sean. I agree.
It's just because, I mean, it's not just what he did last year. It's who he was coming into the Penn State program. There was every reason to believe he was a success because of how he grew up, how he matured, how he did in high school, you know, how he handled himself early at Penn State. If he could just dial it back a little bit. I mean, I can't say he probably wants to be known as a game manager, but that's what he did, and that's what this team needed, and I think that's, they just need to embrace their identity because it's who they are now, not who they hope to be, and that's not their fault. A lot of it's to do with the situation and the injury. They have to embrace what they can do best now, and he handled that.
We, in a world where often there is talk about five stars, and justifiably, five stars, a lot of them come in and they play. You know, we saw Micah Parsons. They can play off the chart.
Sure.
But Drew Hartlob and Isaac Lutz were two contributors that are walk-ons to this. In other words, an old-fashioned way of getting it done. What do you think of stories like that, the Drew Hartlobs, the Isaac Lutzes of the world, that then emerge and help you be a part of a win?
Well, you need them in football because you need so many players. I mean, you need so many guys, and the star rating doesn't guarantee you're not going to get hurt. It doesn't guarantee you're going to be able to adjust. So you need guys. I mean, Drew's from your county, from our area, so yep. We're quite familiar with him. But you go back, I mean, you know, the last time Penn State had a losing season was 2004, and you really didn't know what the offense was going to be the next year. But you had two guys. You had Deion Butler. You had Jordan Norwood, and no one knew anything about them. They probably had one star between them. But that's, you know, you find guys that elevate themselves, and you need them. You have to have them. And especially Isaac's a senior. I mean, you know, talk about sticking with it through everything and looking like he belonged out there. This was not somebody who, in a sense, was just forced onto them. I mean, he did his job, and he looked confident doing it. And yeah, it's the best part about it.
Up front, in the trenches, the offensive line, there were times where they used a sixth offensive lineman. More often than not, that was Juice Scruggs. What did you think about their performance on Saturday against Michigan?
Oh, I think it's what – I mean, they go back to run blocking. I mean, I think that's what they're good at, and you didn't get a chance to see it as much. And the young guys, Caden's doing a great job. I think he's, you know, could be their most talented – linemen out there, but Drew Scruggs being able to contribute the way he is a little more each week with what he battled back from.
Right.
And I think they got to be able to own that line to be able to beat a team like Rutgers, which is going to come at you from like eight different angles with all their energy and well coached, and they're feeling like they can do whatever. You're going to need to control it from beginning to end the way they did against Michigan and just plow through. And I think raise it up another notch even, because I think you can get more out of the run game even than what they did. I think Keziah Holmes has more to show than what, you know, he has been able to do. So I think that's a real positive.
Before the game, James Franklin said that they, when it came to Sean Clifford and Will Levis, quote, we'll need both of them going forward. We saw it on Saturday, both of them play. How did you feel about the usage of Will Levis within this offense?
I did really like it. I thought the opener at Indiana when they put him in looked, for some reason, just felt awkward. But I think at this point, with where who they are, where they're headed, I think it just felt different against Michigan when Will came in. It felt like it was useful. It felt needed. And I think Will Levis handled it well. I mean, he's really another running back, a fullback in those situations, and he does it confidently. And that's kind of the style of college football. I mean, it seems like almost every team has a guy like him now. Rutgers certainly does. I think they do need him. It'd be interesting to see when Will comes in those situations when he's, you know, we go back to when he's going to throw the ball, because I think, you know, you set that up and that's going to be there.
Which is interesting because you and I, of course, were both in San Antonio for the Alamo Bowl when Penn State beat Texas A&M and Anthony Morelli was the quarterback. But as you recall, Frank, they went with a package of plays with Darrell Clark in the same mode as the way Will Levis was used, but they were all runs. And I asked Jack Ham and I were talking with Galen Hall and Jay Paterno after the game, and the question we had was simple. I said, did you have a pass play in there for Darrell? And Jay said they ran five of those plays. He said play six was a pass. And I think that's important moving forward, the point you just made, Frank. You said, look, that's still a quarterback back there.
Well, yeah, and Rutgers, Johnny Langdon did that
exactly
last week.
Yep.
And boom, I mean, you know, everybody cheats up, and his receiver is blowing past guys, and he makes the easy throw, and it's there. And I think you haven't really seen Penn State do that with Will, you know, in those situations yet, but I think it looks to me like that's where we're headed, because I think that's going to be his role if everybody stays healthy, and I definitely think that's going to be there.
Right, exactly. So I want to get back to Kevon Lee for a moment. I always find it interesting when a true freshman shows patience when they run the ball. How patient did you think he looked? It looked to us, it looked very patient. Like he set up his blocks, we thought, pretty well.
Yeah, I don't know how much his instincts. I mean, coaching. Yeah. When he was recruited, I know some guys liked him as a linebacker because of his size and his skills. And you really thought he might be the bigger project at all five of these former running backs. But, I mean, boy, stepping in and handling it. And, you use true freshman running backs. But, you know, he does look to me like, you know, he's got the solid lower frame. And just the feel, like you said, the feel of it so early. And you have to have it because you know, you're struggling, you know, there's not options all over the field. You got to make your own. And he, you know, impressively, he did that. I mean, I remember go back to, you know, when Curtis Enos came on, he was tried at linebacker a little bit early, and he had to play as a true freshman and kind of the same, maybe not the same exact body build, but I don't know. There's some similarities in the way they both handled the early situations for me.
Yeah, no question. And I was impressed by what he did in the game on Saturday. All right, so now moving forward, what do you think moving forward? Because obviously Rutgers, I give him credit. They went in and I watched some of the Purdue game in the airport, and I was impressed by what I saw in terms of how they used the two quarterbacks. And you're right, Langdon came in the game and he was running the ball. And by the way, he's 9 of 9 passing this year.
Yeah, exactly. So they're taking advantage. They just have an energy. I mean, they play like they feel like they can win without the best talent. They can come out of any hole. You know, you have to play 60 minutes against them. Even if you get the lead early, they're not going away. And again, the linebackers are going to have to come up and play big. You know, they're going to have to get good run support on some of these guys like Langdon, and, you know, got a really tough tailback too. But Yeah, I think they're going to – Penn State's going to have to – I mean, confidence is what you hope,
yes.
Right,
is
infused here. To be able to play at the level that you should be, and that maybe, you know, the hope is that you gain, you taste that, you move forward, and you look at – and embrace who you are, and you go out and do it a little better next week. And it's on you, right? It's, I mean, you, obviously you got to prepare for Rutgers, but you do what you do as Penn State, I think – take care of business.
Well, they get the win, and I have to ask you about the batting play. I have to ask you about that. I'll be honest about it. I thought that if there was going to be a penalty on the play, it would just be, okay, Michigan ball at the spot of the batting. I never in a million years thought there was a 10-yard penalty. I said earlier in the show that to the credit of Michigan, they on the if you put every box of what you can do wrong in a play, they checked every box in the play and got a first down.
Exactly, yeah. The team that puts in the greatest, most successful effort to me should never be penalized for doing such. But if that's not the most 2020 play in this season, and you wondered, I mean, it's kind of a good test for Penn State because after everything they'd been through on that day and that in the season, you kind of, I mean, you had to be able to pick yourself up because it didn't make any sense. And you saw where a former official, you know, tweeted out after the game or whatever, that was the wrong call because he didn't bat it forward.
Right. And that was my point. That was my point in the broadcast. He batted it to the side.
Right. He swatted to the, not the ball didn't just go to the side. He swatted it from the side, trying to keep it, which the official, the former official, that should not be a penalty at all, and which makes sense. I mean, it just goes back to when you're 7 years old playing in the playground. You do that kind of effort. How does the other team benefit from it? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's the part that got me. So the team that does everything wrong, right, allows the rush to come in, quarterback rolls out, quarterback fumbles the ball. The other team hustles to get to the quarterback. The other team hits the quarterback. The other team keeps the ball in play because they're hustling and running and then recover the ball, and they get nothing.
Steve, I don't think the officials, to be honestly, I don't think they quite knew exactly what to do because they may have never seen such a thing maybe to themselves.
Right, and I actually talked about that with my class this morning about you're going to encounter situations you've never seen before. I have never encountered a situation like that before.
They should get help, though, I'm thinking.
You would think so, yeah. So I know a lot of people think I need help, but that's a different story, Frank.
Yeah, you handle yourself very well. Well,
Frank, you're the best. Thanks so much, my friend. Appreciate the time very, very much. I always enjoy it.
Oh, thank you. Have a great week and a good trip to New Jersey.
Appreciate it, Frank. Thank you. Yeah. Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. One of the best in the business. Always great to have Frank on the show with his perspective. Appreciate him very much, including guys like Mark Wogenrich, who we had on Monday's show. Coming up in the next half hour, we're going to talk baseball, believe it or not. On a December 2nd. And that's because while others are still awaiting their fate, the fate of the Williamsport Crosscutters and the State College Spikes has been decided. And I think for a lot of people across the board, it's a relief. They now know what to expect. What to expect is this. Number one, for you, the fan, not much is going to be different. You're still going to have the great ballpark experience at Medler Field at Barno Park. A great ballpark experience at BB&T Ballpark at Bowman Field, you know, with the fun games, the food, everything, the relaxing late spring and summer nights that are so important to the fabric of what our summers are like. I mean, there are a lot of things that enter into it, you know, obviously firemen's carnivals and things like that happen during the course of the summer. River Fest and things like that are all part of the fabric that we just haven't been able to enjoy in the past year. We'll be able to get back to enjoying baseball next summer. The caliber of play might actually be a little bit better. You're talking about juniors and seniors in college, for the most part, making up these teams. Players that are hungry, not just for the next step, working their way up the ladder of an affiliation, but players that are hungry to get to the draft and then be drafted. I mean, there could be players across the board in this league that, for example, as Phillies fans, you'll see them getting drafted that you ended up watching in Williamsport and State College. There are only going to be 20 rounds of the draft. Now, I realize there are compensatory picks and supplemental picks, but let's just do the easy math. 30 teams, 20 rounds, 600 players. I mean, 150 to 180 players in this league, and many of them are going to be the guys drafted in that. So we're going to talk to Chuck Greenberg, managing general partner of the State College Spikes, about all this in the next half hour. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Final half hour of the show on this Wednesday. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Lincoln, Kia, Hyundai, great new inventory, and the holidays are a great time to buy because the sales are so good right now. All right, they also have great pre-owned inventory. Yeah, maybe that is what fits your budget and fits your life. Well, it comes with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, and they go over it with a fine-tooth comb. Also, along the way, keep in mind, great sales staff to work with. They want to work with you. And the next part of this is that the service department's outstanding. They'll take care of the life of the vehicle. You know, something happens, you need to have it taken care of, or just routine maintenance. You have to be good at both, and Sunbury Motors Service Department is great at both. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. The Williamsport Crosscutters and the State College Spikes are going to be part of the MLB Draft League. Not much is going to change in terms of what you see, in terms of the quality of play. In fact, the quality of play might be better. You're just going to be seeing players fighting to get into the draft instead of already being drafted, fighting to get into the draft. So you're going to get potential major league players down the road all over the place just with different franchises, which is a really neat concept, to go with everything that you already have established in the ballparks, whether it's Bowman or Medler, either one. Six teams, State College, Williamsport, Mahoning Valley, West Virginia, and the Trenton Thunder, who had been with the Yankees, and a sixth to be named later. With that, we bring in the managing general partner of the State College Spikes, Chuck Greenberg. Chuck, welcome. Great day. Great to have you with us.
My pleasure, Steve. Always great to be with you, especially on such an auspicious and promising and positive day. So thanks for having me.
Chuck, what does it mean to the franchise that on this particular day it is now settled and they're not still in the limbo like some other franchises are right now?
It's a great relief. It's exciting. It's hopeful. It's a day that we weren't sure was going to come. And we're just so thrilled with where we are right now. You know, one way or the other, as you and I had talked about, the Spikes were not going away. We were going to continue to play no matter what. But as I said during our Zoom press conference earlier today, which you participated in, and thank you for that, we just weren't sure what our platform was going to be to do that. And as we looked at the range of alternatives and considered them all with an open mind, I was concerned because having done this now in State College for 15 years and with Scott Walker and our staff being so deeply ingrained in the community, we thought we had a pretty good idea of what our community most enjoys. And for Major League Baseball to come up with this new concept that we're so excited about, that I think if you'd sit down and you say, what would be the perfect vehicle to have in State College and for the Spikes and for the community, I don't think you could come up with a better plan than they have. So, I mean, this certainly was not designed for State College, but my goodness, it's about as perfect an alignment of circumstances as imaginable. So, you know, for us to know that while we're all deeply, you know, mired in all of the consequences and day-to-day circumstances of the pandemic, to know for ourselves and for our community that there's a light at the end of the tunnel and that it's not that far off, you know, it's only about 6 months off, that's something that gives us great hope, gives us great energy, and we're just so delighted and relieved and excited to know that the future is in such a good place, and now we can go about doing the things we've always enjoyed doing, which is being a great part of the community, adding to the quality of life however we can, being a place for fun, affordable family entertainment, and making lifelong memories together for many years to come.
All right, another key component to this, and I've had J.J. Cooper on the show a couple of times from Baseball America, so I've been able to really keep up with, as you pointed out in your Zoom conference today, he's been an important outlet in all of this. But the number of games, to get it negotiated up to 68 games, 34, 34 home, 34 away, what did that mean to the potential success of the model?
It meant everything. It was the difference between this being an interesting concept that had no chance of being a successful business and something that that we can really work from and have a business that's sustainable so we can be the platform that Major League Baseball envisions to create this dynamic new product that brings the best draft-eligible players in the country together for an intense opportunity to compete against one another, enhance their draft position, secure their draft position. So that was everything. When Major League Baseball started to actively engage on this format and invited the Spikes to be a founding member, that was my entire focus, was the number of games. Because you can have the greatest idea in the world, but if there's not enough games, there's just no way for it to be a viable business. You know, if you think about it, we have about a 9.5 month off season and roughly a 2.5 month season. And those 9.5 months, we're spending money in advance of the season. And then we play those games to try to make it back and hopefully make a penny or two as well. So it's kind of like in a baseball game. That 9.5 month off season is like giving up 7 runs in the top of the first when it comes to business operation. You need those 9 at-bats to chip away and get back on top. And so that's what having those home dates means to us. And the original concept had far fewer games, and it was a great idea for a Major League Baseball standpoint, but it was not a viable business platform for clubs. And I really salute Major League Baseball and Prep Baseball Reports, who's going to be operating the league from a baseball perspective for them. First of all, for engaging us, for listening to us, and ultimately being so responsive, because the scheduling format that they ended up devising is vastly different from what they had originally. And it's the difference, as I said, between having a good concept that has no chance for business success, and a concept from which we can all benefit.
All right, so now I'm going to take this because of the multiple hats that you have. Minor League Baseball ownership, Major League Baseball ownership. Right? When you were associated with the Rangers, how much would it have helped to have a league like this so that you could get good advanced scouting to make proper draft choices?
It would have been great. You know, every opportunity for players to be seen is a positive for everybody involved. And certainly with the growth of technology in scouting and evaluating players, there's a lot about the old system that, while beloved, was outdated. And now to have an opportunity for the best draft-eligible players in the country to be spread among only 6 teams, only 3 games a night, to have each ballpark outfitted through Major League Baseball with the most updated technology to evaluate players and to be able to compile all of that data, in addition to having scouts from every major league organization present to see every game and every player and only have to be in 3 locations at a night in order to do so, is a phenomenal scouting opportunity that's keeping with the times. It's more efficient. It's better for the players. It's better for Major League Baseball. It's a great idea. And as comfortable as we were with the status quo, you know, you'd really have to be stubborn not to see that this is a really good idea. And again, at first it was a good idea that had no chance of being a successful business. And I think Major League Baseball and Prep Baseball Report, thanks to being open-minded and then being really ingenious about how to address the concerns that some of the founding club members, including myself, raised, or league members raised, have addressed that. So I think this is really interesting. And, you know, it's going to be everything that Spikes fans have enjoyed and more, because all the things that made the ballpark experience special, all the things that make our contributions to the community meaningful, those continue unabated. Except now from a baseball standpoint, you're going to have an even higher concentration of talent,
right,
an even higher number of guys on the team every year who will make it to the big leagues. And, you know, just the level of competition where guys are fighting for fewer draft spots, I think is going to be a fascinating thing to watch from a baseball perspective. And from a fan and entertainment and just ballpark enjoyment perspective, it's going to be everything you like. And I think the baseball will be even better.
Right. I agree with that. The baseball is going to be better. And there is a big difference here between, we often hear about the wooden bat summer league. Okay. Cape Cod League, Alaska, two examples. I believe your son Jack played some summer wooden bat along the way, right? Along the way?
He did. He played in several leagues. He played in the Prospect League. Yep. Which emulates the Frontier League. He played in the West Coast Collegiate League up in Washington State.
Yeah,
we hosted a Texas Collegiate League team in Frisco this summer, so I'm pretty familiar with that. And this is not that,
right? That's my point.
That's my great point.
Right. Because if you're the Cape Cod League, you're not drafted for 10 months.
That's right. I mean, over the years, Summer Collegiate Wooden Bat League baseball has proliferated. And it's terrific, you know. But it used to be back in the day, back in like the 60s and the 70s, the Alaskan League was really the king of the hill,
yeah.
And the Cape. And then the Alaskan League sort of fell off, and the Cape maintained its stature. And you had the Northwoods League and the Coastal Plains League, mm-hmm. and a lot of other leagues that have done very well. But the problem, if you will, is the level of proliferation of these teams. There's just so many teams and so many leagues in so many parts of the country. From a baseball standpoint, in terms of bringing baseball into communities, that's wonderful, and I'm all in favor of it. But from a scouting and player development standpoint, it's really been counterproductive, because the best players are spread over too many different locations and too many different parts of the country. That was problem number one. Problem number two is, because the draft has been held so early, it was the worst of all worlds in a couple of respects. One is, there was no window of opportunity calendar-wise for major league teams to scout players who were draft eligible playing in professional baseball circumstances, you know, with a wooden bat and all the same rules of professional baseball. The last opportunity they had to see guys playing in was in college or high school, where they were using composite bats, and it was just a different environment.
Right.
So one, that scouting opportunity exists. Two, the guys, as I said, they were spread all over the place. So now to have an opportunity immediately before the draft for a meaningful number of games to scout players in a concentrated basis, three ballparks a night, the best technology, every major league team, you know, scouting those games in professional circumstances is a great opportunity from a scouting and player development perspective. And again, I think from a fan standpoint, it's going to be fascinating.
And plus all the ballpark amenities that go with it that makes it a fun night. But they're also going to see Mahoning Valley still. They're still going to see Williamsport still. They're going to see West Virginia still. Then there's the addition of the Trenton Thunder, whom you're familiar with, of course, in the days with the Curve, and then a team to be named later. What does the ownership of those groupings mean to the success of this league? But also the fact that there's also a travel component. These guys aren't going to be worn out from long bus rides overnight.
Right. This is going to be a very geographically convenient league. I mean, probably of all of the leagues that Major League Baseball is affiliated with, this is going to be the most geographically convenient league, which has a lot of pluses for the players. It has pluses for scouts, you know, for everybody. Because, I mean, right now the farthest trip we'd be looking at is Trenton, and I've made the drive from State College to Trenton, and it's not bad.
No.
I mean, it's actually pretty good. I mean, you're talking probably 3.5 hours, which is great. So you've got a really geographically convenient league. You've got strong ballparks. These are all strong operations that do great things in each of their communities, and really strong ownership. You know, in fact, every club so far has ownership that is involved with other clubs as well, and that's a positive too. So the relationships that we have with Major League Baseball, I think the broad perspectives and experiences that we've had from operating teams in different places, I think is another strength that this league has. And as I said in the Zoom press conference, I'm glad there's six teams to begin with. There was some talk of eight. I actually think six is ideal for a host of reasons. So this is something I'm really excited about. You know, this feels like kind of a 2-point reversal in wrestling. You know, we felt sometimes like we had a shoulder blade on the mat and we were just fighting to keep the other one from touching down. And here we've kind of turned it over to where I think we've got something that has a chance to be really special for a long time. And most importantly, something that our community will really, really enjoy, because as you said, not only is it everything that everyone's come to know and love about the Spikes in terms of the ballpark experience and the things we do in the community, not only during the season, but all throughout the year. But I think the things that attracted folks in the community from a baseball standpoint will be everything they liked before and more. And again, I can't think of a concept that's a better fit for the Happy Valley community than this one.
Plus, there's the stamp of the Major League Baseball part of it. State College Spikes, along with the aforementioned affiliates that will be playing in this league, have the stamp and the backing of Major League Baseball. The importance of that is critical, isn't it?
No doubt. No doubt. And that's another differentiation from summer collegiate wooden bat leagues, where again there's so many and those guys aren't draft eligible and they're not directly associated with Major League Baseball. You can't get a much closer affiliation with Major League Baseball than when your league has been created by Major League Baseball and is called the Major League Baseball Draft League.
That's right.
You know, there's not a lot of subtlety or ambiguity in that one, Steve. So, I mean, this has literally been created by Major League Baseball, operated by Prep Baseball Reports on their behalf. There's going to be a very close working relationship between MLB, PBR, and the league members. There already has been, and the redesign of the schedule is a good reflection of that. So I think this has just worked out exceptionally well, and We're really, really excited about it.
Not only that, the redesign of the schedule, it's when it takes place. In May, maybe the end of May, going into August. The fit with the community, with Penn State baseball and, of course, football season coming up, how do you feel about the fit of when the season takes place based on how this community operates?
Like a hand in a glove. It's just perfect. You know, to start in late May rather than middle of June is a plus. Those are great dates, great weather. You know, schools are still in session, which is a good thing for us. And we think it's terrific. As far as the Penn State baseball program, if they advance and they're playing into June, that just adds more excitement to what's going on and brings more attention to baseball. And one of the things that I'm excited about, in fact, I texted happy birthday to Coach Cooper yesterday and was letting him know this, but the league has PBR and Major League Baseball said they would be happy to hold a spot or two every year for a Penn State player who's draft eligible, who's capable of playing at that level. So for the university to have that as a recruiting tool, for that to be an attraction, and then to see, you know, a young man who's been there for a few years and has done well, now have an opportunity to stay home, showcase what he can do against the best players in the country, I think would be a great local interest story, great for the university program. And so, again, I just can't think of a concept that could fit better for this community and this organization than the Major League Baseball Draft League.
Well, there's nothing like sitting up there and talking about all this during the course of beautiful summer nights in State College. I think this is a great day for State College Spikes baseball. I think, in the end, this really worked out perfectly.
It sure did, you know, and we've known each other a long time, Steve.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a relentlessly positive person who focuses on solutions, and somehow, some way, I felt like there was going to be a soft landing here, that we were going to be okay.
Yeah.
But uncertainty is always concerning, and there sure was a lot of uncertainty. And then the clouds began to part about a month ago, and, you know, really focus with MLB. Could they make some changes to take a great idea and turn it into a viable operation? And again, to their enormous credit, they did so. And I think we've come out in a really good place. Kerrick Jackson is going to be the president of the league on behalf of Prep Baseball Reports. Is a really impressive guy who, you know, has a deep understanding of things from a professional and a collegiate standpoint, and a lot of great experiences in his career. So I think this has really come out in a great place. Now we've got a platform to go out and do the things that we love to do for a long time forward. And I think the community is going to respond to this in a very enthusiastic way, and it's going to be a really exciting season in 2021.
Absolutely. Looking forward to every second of it. Our thanks to you, Scott Walker, Dan Petrozzolo, Joe Putnam, everybody that's been involved in helping to make this happen. We appreciate it very much, Chuck.
My pleasure, Steve. Thanks for everything you've always done for this franchise since even before day one. And I'm glad we're going to get to share those experiences together into the future. So
can't
thank
wait.
You.
Can't wait. Thank you, Chuck. Chuck Greenberg, President, Managing General Partner, State College Spikes. That's great news for the Cutters and the Spikes. Here we are sitting on December 2nd. Their fate is now settled. No more pins and needles. All right, back with you tomorrow. Looking forward to it. Today's show has been brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and you can always go online to check out everything at sunburymotors.com. From Matt Cotrillo, I'm Steve Jones. Thanks for joining us today on News Radio 1070 WKOK.